As a teacher, I know that one of the things that students can't stand is when a teacher assigns work that the kids view as busy work. Something that the teacher has to give them an assignment, they have to give them something. And the kid feels this is not in line with helping us prepare for the exam. It's not in line with what we've been doing. You're only giving it to me because you have to give it to me. You just need something else for us to do. And when it comes to the purification process of the Mitzvah on this week's Parsha, there's a component of it that seems almost like busy work, something that's totally not needed, totally superfluous. Where the Mitzvah, it's very unique, where the person has to take two birds, and the first of which is shechted, and the second of which is just set free. And it's the only time where you see that a person has this purification process where they take an animal, imagine like buying a sheep, going to the Beis Hamikdash, and the Kohen's like, okay, you did a good job, now let it go off into the field. Good job, Shkoyach, you're pure. Like, what was that? What does that mean? Why does he have to do that? What's the point of buying it if all he's going to do is set it free? Next is that there's a lot of symbolism when it comes to different components, even the very small details that are in the Parsha. So when it comes to the way, what we use to purify this person, the Torah tells us, take the two birds, the eight erez, ushni tolas ve'ezov, and use cedar wood. So what's the cedar wood for? So Rashi says, ve'eit erez, the reason why I use cedar wood is lefisha ne'ga'im ba'an agasus haruach. Because the reason the person has tzaras is because of haughtiness. And it's the cedar wood, the eight erez, is to remind this person that just like a cedar, which is a tall and beautiful tree, this is the most chashuv tree, so too, you sinned because you viewed yourself as the most chashuv person. You thought you were head and shoulders above everyone else, and that's what caused you to speak this Lashon Hara. So you remind him about this, look what you did. It seems pretty strange though, because many of us know that when it comes, let's say, a Baal Tshuva, so someone who totally turned their life around to live a life of Torah mitzvot, there's mamash and avera to remind them about their past. And over here, even though it's true it's the same sin, this is a purification process for that sin of the Lashon Hara in which they spoke, this isn't where right after they were declared to have taras, this is the next process, no. They already were michutz l'machane for 7 days. And imagine sitting in isolation until the tzaras goes away. That is the purification process, meaning that is the tshuva. And over here, okay, this is the final steps that you have to do in order to finally be able to go back to the machane, to go back to live a normal life. So why is it that right after this person sat alone, did tshuva, cried, davened to Hashem. Now they go back and they say, remember what you did? Remember how haughty you thought you were? Why did we do that to the guy? That's question two. Now there's a very interesting Medrash Rabbah, which tells a story about Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai was walking through the marketplace and he saw a rochel, he saw a peddler, a merchant, who stood up and he announced, whoever wants long life, come to me, come over here. I have the secret to long life. So people start running over to him. Everyone's crowded around him. And he takes out a Tehillim. And he says, Mi ya'i shechavetz chayim, who wants long life? And he continues the pasuk. If you want long life, basically don't speak Lashon Hara. Rabbi Yanai sees this and it seems cute. And Rabbi Yanai says, my entire life, I've heard this pasuk, and I never understood it until now. Now, you and I know this pasuk. It's something we say, Shabbos Pesukei Zimra, it's a pretty famous pasuk. And even more importantly than that, it actually makes tremendous sense. It is a pasuk that's pretty easy to understand. If you're on long life, stay away from bad speech. So what is it? Yeah, Rabbi Yanai was not a dumb person. So what is it? What lesson did he learn that he never understood the pasuk until that moment? So these questions and these answers are from Rav Bezalel Rudensky in his Sefer Mishkan Bezalel. He says the yesod is that when it comes to every single action that a person does, there are two components to the action. There's the physical act which is done, and there's the effect that it causes. You could have a person who does a small mitzvah, but it could be seen, it could inspire others to do mitzvos, and there could be a tremendous reward because of that. And on the flip side, Rahman Latzan, you could have a person who does an avera, even maybe, quote-unquote, a small avera, but it could cause a tremendous chilul Hashem. And in most cases, though, when it comes to mitzvos, so there happens to be just a very direct result from that mitzvah. That's right in front of you, something you see. So a person, for example, a person steals money. So now that itself, the stolen money, that is the act of geneva or gazela that they've done. A person hurts someone. So now that is the act that they do. And the rectification process, the way to get back the tshuva, is very clear. It's totally black and white. So the Torah tells us, for example, you stole, you know what you have to do? You have to return, right? Let's say when it comes to karbanos, so you didn't eat a korban in the proper time. You have nosar, now burn it, right? There's certain things that are just clear, and you know the action, you know the sin, and you are now told exactly what to do. But when it comes to lashon hara, so lashon hara is so different, because lashon hara, when you speak the words of lashon hara, so it's not where the action, like when it comes to theft, the action stopped right there. That was the end of the sin. But over here, when it comes to lashon hara, this lashon hara could go on for years. Could mamish have caused someone to have a terrible reputation, cause them terrible damage for years to come, for as long as that is spread. There's a story where a person who was a baal lashon hara came to the Ben Ish Chai in Baghdad, and he asked him, he said, how do I do tshuva for this? So the Ben Ish Chai says, I'll tell you the following procedure for tshuva. I want you to take a chicken, and I want you to shech this chicken. I want you to pluck all the feathers from the chicken, and I want you to go through the streets of Baghdad, and I want you to let the feathers go. Just let them, throw them up into the air. So the man went out, bought the chicken, shechted the chicken, starts pulling off each of the feathers one by one from the chicken, and starts walking through, and after a few hours, he comes back to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I finished. So the Ben Ish Chai says, no. Now you haven't really begun the tshuva process. He says, what do you mean? He says, the real tshuva process is, I want you to walk back through the streets of Baghdad, and I want you to pick up all the feathers. And the man's like, what do you want me to do? I don't know where they are. Like, they were thrown there. The wind took them when I threw them up. I have no idea. I'm not going to be able to get them. So the Ben Ish Chai says, look, you see, when it comes to lashon hara, the words you said, you can never get them back. And when they go, when you send them out from your mouth to whoever they went to, they keep going and going and going. Now that's the end of the story. I hope the Ben Ish Chai made the person feel a little bit better. But of course, it's mamash a very important lesson. This sin is very different than others. Like I said, the other sins, so you have the action, you hurt someone, that is the action. There's nothing else, no other, of course, as terrible as it is, there's nothing else that's happening, a negative action that's happening right after that. But over here, the sin commands just keep going and going and going. And so when it comes to the questions that we are asked, so why does he take the bird and why is he free? It seems totally unnecessary. And so the reason is, because you're showing him the following lesson. A bird chirps. And this bird symbolizes you who speaks lashon hara. You just chirping, you're saying anything you want, anything that comes to your mind, speaking off the cuff. And that bird, you're let go out. You let it go. And you say, that lashon hara that I spoke, I can never get back. Just like this bird that I just set free, I can never get it back. I can't go and capture it. It's gone. And that's the mussar for this person. And when Chazal give the mussar to the person about the Eitz Erez, saying, oh, you're a haughty person, it's not to make fun of his past, but it's in the present. Because since the sin of Lashon Hara is still lingering, he is still a Baal Lashon Hara. He's still a person who mamish sinned and is still, the Lashon Hara is going on, even though, of course, he himself wants to stop. But those words are still lingering. And that is a terrible tragedy of what he did. And the Pri Tzadik, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, he says as follows. He says, what did Rabbi Yanai learn? Rabbi Yanai, when he saw that person, so the Midrash says it's a rochel. So we picture a peddler. That's what rochel means. He says it doesn't mean he was a peddler. It was a person who spoke gossip. Like, lo teilech rachil be'amecha. The Torah tells us, don't be like a gossiper when it comes to the sin of Lashon Hara. Don't be like a gossiper. This person wasn't a peddler. He was a person who was a Baal Lashon Hara. And what did he do? Even after he stopped speaking Lashon Hara, he had to go around and continue the tshuva process, because the tshuva for this is almost never ends. And he had to spread it. He had to make sure to spread the message to not speak Lashon Hara. And Rabbi Yanai saw this person who was a Baal Lashon Hara, get up there and tell people, you want the key to life, Netzol Lashon Chamera. And what has is that end? Sur Merav Yaset Tov Bakei Shalom Radfeu. Rabbi Yanai says, those words, I never understood that until now. Because what is this person embodying? Sur Meira, this person, he removed himself from the bad. He stopped speaking Lashon Hara. But now, as part of his tshuva process, what does he have to do? Asei Tov. He has to do good. Bakei Shalom Rav Feyu. He has to spread Shalom. And tell all these people who are here, tell them to not make these mistakes. Tell them to not speak poorly of other people, and to stop the sin of Lashon Hara. And it's something that is so powerful to think about how damaging Lashon Hara could be. All of us know, have had experiences of being hurt by other people. The worst case is where you hear it secondhand, where it's not where someone's just making fun of you or someone, but where you hear that someone was speaking about you. We all know how bad it is. We all know how bad it is for our character to speak Lashon Hara. And should be a zchus for us. On this Shabbos HaGadol, we're coming up to Pesach, we want to use our mouths for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have a special mitzvah coming up in a week and a half, where we manage to get to speak out the Nisim v'Neflos Hashem did for us. Not just to think about it, not just even to say it, but to tell the whole story, to use questions and answers, and to make sure to use our mouths for positive things and not chas v'shalom for the wrong things.